Good morning, honorable members and delegation from the department. It's good to see you after such a long period. I think you have had enough break. I really want to interfere with you in the days leading to the State of the Nation address. Today we are convening a briefing from the department about the shortlisting from SAMHSA for the structure of the board members. I hope everybody got the briefing notes, and we will hear from the department then as to what they have for us. Fast through, but without their input, we wouldn't know how they came to the conclusion to shortlist the people as shortlisted. And they will give us a briefing on that. I don't think it's going to be a complicated issue. Just that I also am not very much aware of the act that governs the board member selection of sons of the boss. It seems that in the spirit structure, the legislation that governs the selection of board members, there is one where Parliament has to have a say, there is one where it has just to make recommendations but have no say, there is one where Parliament takes charge of everything. So I don't know when it is coming this one. Sometimes when you they will prefer about that. If it is after consultation or in consultation with Parliament. Without wasting any time, let me introduce our delegation of the committee to a two-member delegation from the department. They have been very economic with themselves. They only came to May for that matter. Right. I'll start from my desk here. I've got our content specialist Rene, and I've got our committee secretary Shanaf, myself, and I'll give my members to introduce themselves to you. Starting with the chair.
Chair, honourable members, distinguished guests, colleagues of the year to you, Chair, all colleagues. I've not changed my name. I'm still both the Chief Moelo Mangunya, the employee of the African National Congress from the Executive Division, from the Executive Province of Oakambo, which is Thomas.
Good morning, I'm Janita Falcon-Lorenz, a member of this committee. I'm from Gauteng, Swan in Pretoria, and I represent the DA.
Morning, I am Bruton Douglas, member of the committee.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Compliments of the university. The new year is
I can't seem to be very much. That hair is hiding, eh? There are a lot of hair flying over her face.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and compliments for 2013. My name is Poppy Mchumi. I'm from Gauteng province in the region of Swami, and the member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm online. I'm a member of the portfolio committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Shala Khanna from Destiny.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Martin Mulcahy, Special Advisor to the Minister of Science and Technology. Morning, everyone. I'm Sharma Natu, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for DSP.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm from the CSIR and I'm in stakeholder management. Aziza Frederick.
Hi, I'm Sarah Lawrence. I'm with CMG.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Umbran Dal from the Department of Science and Technology.
We want to know what to do there. We know what to learn is doing. We don't know about some of us what you do.
Chair and members, I'm responsible, I'm the Chief Director responsible for Space Science and Technology.
That's it. That's a complete address.
Good morning, honorable members and the Chair. My name is Sulan Mapuso, I'm the COO in the department.
Okay, thank you. I think our honorable member just arrived in office. She can, there are two members joining us. If they can also introduce themselves before we start.
My name is Jamal, which is from the United Chair of the
Honourable member, that is just around. Can you introduce yourself before we start? Okay. Without wasting time, I will give it to the COO to lead us.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. It really gives us the pleasure to be presenting this shortlist to the committee, and indeed it's been a long time since we've last appeared in the committee, and we wish members a successful 2013, and we hope that we will be spending a lot of time to present the activities that the department is undertaking for the current for the 2013 calendar year. Chair, we, as a way of background, maybe just to indicate that the South African National Space Agency was established in terms of the legislation which was passed in 2008. And subsequent to that, a number of preparations to ensure that we set up the agency. The board was therefore appointed with effect from the 1st of June in 2010 for a period of 4 years as stipulated in the legislation. So therefore, the court was appointed in terms of Section 7 of the legislation. You did indicate earlier on around the role that the Parliament plays in this particular appointment. I think I will allude to that as I proceed with the presentation. Just to indicate that in terms of the
legislation... I've got very fine from our colleague advisor. The legislation that governs this the appointment of the board may fall under the category of after the minister contact with the parliament after. So it's after consultation with parliament.
Yes.
So if it's like that, therefore it gives us very little say to what the appointment is.
The Minister must submit, can appoint after submitting to the National Assembly a list which must be approved by the National Assembly before the minister could appoint. So really, the legislation does give the powers to the National Assembly to approve the list which the minister needs to appoint from. Just as I was trying to indicate what Section 7 of the legislation indicates, that the minister appoints members of the board after the National Assembly has submitted to the minister an approved shortlist from which the minister needs to appoint. So really there is that role that the National Assembly plays.
Yeah, there is that role, but the minister, what I'm saying, is not bound by what we do. He can still continue. They are the cutters, they draw the category, say, within consultation with the committee. And there is a category which is after consultation with the committee, and after consultation.
It's after consultation, yeah.
With category, so I know what it is.
Thanks, Chair. So I was just indicating, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that the composition of the board of the legislation is that the board should consist of a chairperson who is appointed by the minister, not less than 10 members, but not more than 15 members, and also the chief executive officer of the agency as an ex officio of the board. Now, to outline the issue that you've just talked about with the chair, in terms of Section 7 of the Act, is that the minister will appoint the board after publishing a notice in the Government Gazette and two national newspapers circulating in the Republic, calling upon the members of the public to nominate persons as contemplated in Section 6 A and B of the legislation. And subsequent to that, the minister is required to set up a panel of experts that will compile a shortlist from the nominees referred to in paragraph A. And that panel office will then submit the shortlist to the minister. Once the shortlist is completed, as I said, the panel submits to the minister, and together with the CVs, and the minister will then have to submit it to Parliament or to the National Assembly for approval. And the clause that is the next in the paragraph is the one that I made reference to when I was responding to the chair in that one. Currently we have 5 vacancies that we have in this board, which mainly are attributable to a minimal number of members that were appointed when the board was constituted for the first time. At the time, the minister could not find a suitable candidate with the financial expertise as required by the Section 7(4)(c) of the legislation. And also, a representative from the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, did not take up the position when the board was constituted in 2010. Just to indicate that because the number of departments who make use of the services and also are directly linked to the work that the state agency does, it was obviously a decision that we need to ensure that the board is representative and also has members of other departments who must serve in this particular board. So therefore we had that particular challenge when the board was constituted, where a member from the Department of Agriculture didn't take up the position. But also in cabinet, when this matter was considered of the board in 2010, the then Minister of Communications withdrew the name of the Department of Communications representative who was at the time nominated to serve in this particular board. So therefore, since then, we hadn't received a name that was going to replace that particular candidate. Also, I think at the time of the appointment, we had one member of the board who was an employee of the HMO, the Hermanas Magnetic Observatory, which has since migrated to SAMHSA. Because at the time when the board was constituted, HMO was falling as a national facility under the NRF. So therefore, that particular member had to resign because there's no provision in the legislation to have an executive member of the board because she's now an employee of SAMHSA. So therefore, she had to vacate the position. Now, Honourable Chair, in 2012, the minister issued a public call with the closing date of 20 July 2012 to fill the five vacancies that I alluded to. And the public call attracted about 45 nominations, We've also extended the nomination, the what's called the invitation to submit nominations to departments that I've alluded to earlier on, which is agriculture, forest and fisheries, communications, environmental affairs, development and land reform and water affairs. So that process therefore has gave us 45 names. We then constituted the panel as required by the legislation to look at the shortlist. And these are the names that came out of the process of public nominations and then the shortlist that was followed by the panel. We have attached the CVs of these members and their expertise in different fields who are really supposed to, I think the panel was of the view that they actually meet the criteria in terms of serving in this particular board. I think in the briefing notes we have attached the brief curriculum vitae of all the members that are listed in this particular presentation. We have Mrs. Kambule, Esther Kambule. We have Mrs. Esther Kambule is currently a senior manager in aviation services at the South African Weather Services. And also we've got Ms. Malifane Bodia. Malifane is the risk manager at the Development Bank of Southern Africa and holds a master's degree in development finance and Bachelor of Commerce in Accounting. We have Mrs. Maite Nokulunga, who is also chair, just trying to get the profile of we might have actually jumped the profile, but I think we'll just get the details. We also have Ms. Mukoka Matukana, and also Mr. Maria Stresman, who's the MD and co-founder of a company called PSP Icon. He's also especially his field of expertise is in finance. We also have Ms. Kinosi Selani, who's the director of a company called Isonec, chartered accountant by training, so also I think a finance person. We also have Professor Walter. Professor Walter is the space... Professor Walker. I think the presentation, there was just a typo in the presentation. It's Professor Walker, whose expertise is in the field of space science and research and physics. So those are the names that came out of the process. And then, Honorable Chair, the next slide talks to the names that came from the nominations by government departments. We've got Mr. Lyndon Petra, who is the Chief Director of Radio and Satellite Communication at the Department of Communication, who has been nominated to serve on the board. We also have Mr. Jonas Mpeya, who's a PhD in astronomy chemistry. He's the Chief Director responsible for ocean conservation at the Department of Environmental Affairs. We also have Mr. Naidu, Ashley Naidu, at the Department of Environmental Affairs also, who is the Director responsible for ocean conservation strategies. He also has an MSc in zoology. The next candidate is Dr. Mayindi from the Department of Rural Development, who is also the Chief Director responsible for technology research and development, has got a PhD in aerospace technology. And then we've got Mr. Mbaniseni from the Department of Water Affairs, currently acting DDG, responsible for policy regulation, with a specific focus on water resource management. And then the last candidate is Mr. Kerry. He's a director responsible for special and land information management at the Department of Water Affairs. We did not receive any nomination from the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. So, Honorable Chair, these are the names of the candidates that if this committee approves, then the Minister will have to select five names from which to fill the vacancies that currently exist in this particular board to ensure that the board is able to function. But currently the board functions with only 8 members, with the minimum is which is supposed to be at least 10. So currently we've got 8 members, which includes the chair. So really the board is limping, and I think particularly on the finance side, so we need to ensure that we are able to assist, to ensure that they are able to carry on with their future duties, and ensure that they are able to provide leadership to the agency. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
The first question which I want to chat with you before we carry on, since the board is functioning with 8 people, and since the act prescribes between 10 and 15 members, how many members do you expect our committee to recommend from this list? Do you want us to give additional, or what is the modus operandi?
Chair, we have submitted these names, so obviously we expect that the committee will look at the candidates and indicate which candidates I think the committee approves. If the committee...
No, I understand that. What I do not understand is that out of the 8 that are operating, how many are you looking for out of the list that you have submitted?
We're looking for 5.
For 5? Yes. No, that's what I wanted to check. Okay. So we need to recommend 5 names on the list.
Well, Chair, if there's more than 5 that the committee feels that they are suitably qualified to be appointed to the board, we'll be happy with that, because what it then does is that should there be any vacancies in future, we are able to go back to the names that the committee has already scrutinized. So therefore, we do not start the process afresh, because it's very cumbersome and takes a lot of time to go through the process.
Before we continue, let me welcome the new honorable member. I didn't know about myself about it. I've just been told by my secretary that we have been joined by another new member. I have known in the list that she was not doing pretty well for some long time. Unfortunately, the colleague didn't appraise me. I should have known that today she is coming to join us. She's not well. But all the same, welcome, honorable member. Can you introduce yourself to all of us?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Janita de Blanche. I'm from the Northwest. And I hail from Tulpe Municipality in Potchefstroom. So, yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, from which?
From the A. She is the member who has always been absent from the sick leave. She's supposed to have long joined us. I remember getting that submission. Honorable Junita was supposed to have impressed me that she is now well and is back.
Oh,
is
it
mine? Yes, exactly.
Well, I was aware of the fact that there was constant correspondence between Shanaz and Juanita. There's a difference between the two of us. I'm Junita, no. She's Juanita.
No, myself, I'm saying Junita. Honorable Junita was supposed to have appraised me of Juanita. Okay. Right. I think we have listened to the pre-presentation. I'm sure this is not supposed to have a lot of polarization, because these are names that we've got a long list from which to choose at least 5 members of the board to add up to the expected total. So I have looked through, I browsed through the CVs of those people, of the names that have been raised by the appropriate committee, select committee. I found that the CVs are very competent. I just needed to know on what basis probably or what are the terms and conditions of people being appointed, but at least we've got a briefing now that they mostly like to look into the departments that work, that have related work to the space agency, or that do some common work with the space agency, such as agriculture, environment, and so forth. And All I want to find out myself is why did the Minister of Communication withdraw the name from publication?
At the time, I think we're made to believe that the person who was recommended was Ms. Rosie Sekese, who was at the time in the process of being appointed as the Director General. So therefore, they were meant to submit a different name because of that. They felt that I think she couldn't serve in this particular board.
I see Honourable Lyne at the time there. Honourable Lyne.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I was covered partly by the CEO's report now, but I just want to know, in the Department of Agriculture and Forestry, didn't submit the name. Are there any process that you follow to ensure that they submit the name, to ensure that the name that is coming out here is suitable for everyone?
Thank
you very much for the presentation. Two questions. The first one is about the Hermanus Magnetic Observatory. And I wanted to understand its relations to the South African National Space Agency, because I hate the rationale for doing that person, that person who could not have the executive board. But in my own mind, I thought that South African National Space Agency is a legal entity separate from the Hermanus Magnetic Authority. But if it's the one same thing, just wanted clarity on that. Otherwise, the rationale behind the excluding a person, I understand. The second one, I know it's by implication, they are saying that the panel of aspects that just to be assured, so that he can just confirm that indeed the minister did appoint a panel of aspects in the period in section 7.1b, because we only hear that the chairman of the panel did clearly by petition to suggest that there was a panel of that was actually appointed. I know within the act it says that they must respond on that basis, then we could recommend or support the list of the minister. I think these are the two chairs, because I think the honourable member before me did raise questions. I wanted to raise around the non-appointment by the Department of Agriculture Policy, which is a cause for concern for me as well.
I think I'm covered on some of this without going to ask the conversation. But I just want to check with the department if there is any follow-up with the notification and forest to India on the submission of the name. What is it that we have or it is left to them to submit any deadline for that? And what the administration is going to add. In the shortlisting, except from the department, we want to afford that at least the shortlisting of the recommended candidates, at least the sensitivity in terms of gender. But when it comes to nominations by government department, quite very
who was a Christ department. I'm not quite sure whether it's because I'm used to feeling my apologies, I'm sorry to indicate that, but we were a Christ department to improve, well, to communicate with the department and encourage them in terms of communicating female, not to be able to communicate female. If there are none, that is what it is, it's fine, but if they are there, we'll encourage them to improve in that. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
After that, Honorable Chumi, and after that, I think as Honorable Blanche.
My first question is regarding the fact that the minister could not find a suitable candidate with financial expertise. Do they currently have somebody on the board? I count 11 members plus the chairperson, am I correct? According to this document that is in our pigeonhole. Okay, then the second question also is on agriculture, forestry and fisheries. Your presentation, one of the bullets states that the representative of the department did not take up the position or appointment on the board. That had anything to do with the fact that we didn't get any response from the department. I agree with my colleagues, I've covered on this question. It is a great concern that we don't have anybody from that department. And then also the panel that is appointed by the minister, who are the members of this panel? Do they come from the department? Who are the members of the panel? Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Let me indicate that I went through the document yesterday and I've seen the CVs and the qualifications. Of this, I believe that these people have the necessary expertise to be gone through the CVs yesterday. This document here. But Chairperson, what I want to find out, because here I believe it's a matter of expertise, even if you are to be appointed on the board. What I would like to find out, Chairperson, and maybe the delegation from DSPs, whether as a committee we sit and discuss this and send our recommendations to the department, the recommended list, or we do together with them?
No. We are supposed, as they have sent in the full CVs, we are supposed to have made up our minds by now, but we are supposed to get a briefing, and after we have got a briefing from them, we are supposed ourselves to finalize the names. And then submit them to the department after. So once we are done with that clarification from them, it is now upon ourselves to then compile a list of what we recommend on consensus. And then submit that list through Shanas. Shanas submit it to the department. Okay. Right. That's my question. Are you done with that? Any further question from Mochum or what? You need it only the clarification.
Yes, that's what I was asking.
Right, Honourable Blanche.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to ask, do you want to conclude this process today? I have worked through the documentation and also the opinion that we have some excellent candidates according to the CV, but what when do you want to finalize the process and we can be able to
I think we had reserved the today and next week for this purpose, because today we accepted that it would be a briefing from the department, and then after that we have ourselves therefore to digest what we want and finalize it. So we do have still next week for this purpose. So what we can do now, once we've got the briefing from the department, we can adopt the report for today, and then we can then work out the names. Each member can probably come with the names that he or she recommends, and then you can compile the list together next week as to make one list. If there are any coincidental names, then they will therefore fall apart. And then the remaining list that which covers almost all what we think it should be, and we send it. The minister, after consultation with us, this is the legislation. The minister then, whether we have 15 names, the minister then has a duty to look into those 15 recommended names from us, from which he will only choose 5. That's how it goes. Okay, I think that, yeah. Honorable,
yes, thank you, Chair. We need 5 new members. What kind of expertise do we actually need on this point? That's also very important to know. Is there a shortage of some expertise on the board? Thank you.
My last question, maybe it's more of an administrative issue for the government. Whether it's because of the competence of this committee and the department. The department is a bit weak and falls short on addressing the areas of people. Whether it's because, and it is the department that I think was proactive, and then begin to say to us, when we made an advert or whatever, none from that sector. So that we don't always come back and say, but wow, what is it, where is it? And then be able to inform us that in fact, that is the challenge that we're having, health science and technology. There are few people with disabilities that are interested in these areas, so that when we go out and encourage learners in our constituency areas, we are then able to understand what I do think that is. And if this subject, this subject, Chair, you pardon my ignorance, you are under your guidance, is that in fact, people with disabilities, they are not I don't want to say that it's a total group, but it's an area that will create a challenge for them. And I do think that, Chair, the department must assist. It's a bit difficult every time to say, I remember there was one portfolio meeting where we had to argue why this, and it was again thrown back to us. So my appeal is that in moving forward, in all the boards and all the aspects, the department must look into that and report to us when they come to the decision. That in fact, we communicated with the community or the institutions that have got people with disability, and there was no response. So that we check why there was no response. That's the only area, Chair, that I've got a challenge
with. I think the honorable member is quite correct. You see, it shouldn't be our duty to police what is supposed to be the government policy. It should be the duty of the department or that particular panel to say that, well, looking into what we need here, over and above of what the Act recommends, we have gone further to engage also in the policy dimension of the government, which is about transformation and equity. And these are the areas that we have looked into. We did look for people with disabilities. We did look for people with female gender. We did look for demographics. We did look for that. And this deals with the challenge that you met. I think the honourable member is correct. So that is the duty which, of course, is not going to now make any meaning in this, but in future. It should be an adopted policy between us and the working relations with the department. It shouldn't be us policing that some of those conditions are met with. Honorable Dr. Blanche.
Thanks, Jameson. I just want to say from the document, it's clear that you will have to include someone with financial expertise, because that's apparently something that's lacking on the board. So if we can just all take that into account before we give our notes.
you stated in one of the documents that that is a shortcoming. You picked it all up here.
I think if we go through that document, most of which is part of what the COO was briefing us about, the document says a lot of things, that some of which you are asking about. It does say a lot of what type of people are needed, what are the recommendations, and so forth and so on. I think we must now, we will have time to digest the document again after this briefing. And then we must come with necessary recommendations from the committee side. I'll therefore appeal that each member submit 5 names, so that when we collect those 5 names from each, then it makes a list of what we have as a committee. Whether the whole list can end up being 20 doesn't matter, as long as we have the list that has satisfies everybody, that the name he or she has recommended has been included. I think that's how we're going to talk about it. Yeah. And then the minister then will choose 5 out of those in accordance with what he needs. But he will then have a pool of expertise recommended already by Parliament, from which he should have 1, because the minister may choose 5, but in 3 of them they may also be not available. But then he has a pool from which to choose, which does not need to come back to Parliament.
Yes.
No, thanks Chair, and thanks Honourable Members. Maybe just to, as a way of response to some of the questions that have been posed, I just want to indicate that the area that is raised by Honourable Tunjo on the issue of disability, the board does currently have somebody who has disability, Mr. Vincent Kohler. He's an engineer, yes, his expertise is in the field of engineering and governance. So that was catered for when the board was reconstituted. Secondly, that from the names that the department has submitted, for example, Dr. Mayindi from the Rural Development is a female. So I think the departments have considered those in their submissions. So I thought I should just indicate those. But regarding the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, there was a person that was appointed when the board was constituted for the first time. And that person actually did not take up the position. There was a decline to serve in the board. We were not given reasons. And when we were busy trying to fill these vacancies, we done a lot of follow-ups with the relevant the colleagues in those departments, but that did not yield any positive outcome. We have really sent correspondence, followed up with telephonic conversations, but I think it just did not yield any positive outcome. So we thought we should not delay the appointment or the filling of vacancies just because one department that we had identified, because honourable members appreciate the fact that we took the decision to ensure that we engage the other departments who are making use of the space program and also are contributing to it, to be part and parcel of this board, mainly because of the role that they play. But obviously it is not a legislative requirement as per the legislation that governs the agency, but I think it was more of a cooperation, because I think one of the things that we always pick up in government is that the lack of coordination, so this really was to try and enhance coordination in terms of the area of activity that the space agents operate in. So really, so we're hoping that if we were to reconstitute the board, because 4 years will be up very soon, I think the term of the board is expiring next year. So we will be starting, I think by the end of this year, a process to reconstitute this board, because actually the first term would be expiring at the end of July, at the end of May next year. So we'll start the reconstitution process with 6 months ahead of time to enable all these necessary processes to be undertaken. So I think we will still go back to the Department of Agriculture for the reconstitution. Just to reply Honourable Nokonyane regarding the relationship between HMO and SAMHSA, what happened is that in 2010 there was a discussion after the establishment of the space agency particularly the role of the magnetic observatory, which was a national research facility at the time under the NRF, that there were a lot of linkages in terms of its activities to the space agents. So the then minister then took a decision that the national facility must migrate from National Research Foundation into SANSA. So now it is part and parcel of space agents. So therefore it then created a conflict for the member, Dr. McKinnell was part and was member of the board, to say that an employee of SANSA can therefore not be a board member because there's no provision for executive, and hence even the CEO of SANSA is not an executive member of the board, but is an ex-officio by the virtue of being the CEO. So therefore that's why that particular member had to relinquish the position that she occupied prior to the migration of the HMO to SANSA. On the issue of who are the members of the panel, I think Honorable Lawrence raised the question. What we do from time to time when we reconstitute this board, because there are various provisions in legislation that we need to conduct this, in most instances the minister would appoint members of either the executive in the department and other members from other departments. For an example, you have other DGs who sit in the panel. For this one, I do know that the DG was the chairperson of the panel, but I cannot recall all the names of the people, but I think we had a mix of internal and external people who were part and parcel of this panel, who then advised the minister on the shortlist, which then submitted to Parliament for approval.
I think your question, if I related very well with it, was that. Wanted to know the criteria that are used to appoint the panel.
Chair, from time to time, obviously, we'll advise the minister, depending on the type of the board that we're dealing with. We look at the criteria. Is, for example, if we're dealing with space agency, we would look at people who have expertise in the area, particularly in the area of space. For example, we look at people who have knowledge in the governance matters. So really, even internally, we do have people who are capable. That's the mix that we normally look at when we advise the minister. But the majority of those come from the executive of the department. Just also to indicate the issue of the skills that we've highlighted, I think Honorable Tonobrand just mentioned the issue of financial expertise, because I think in the legislation, the issue of knowledge, expertise in the field of space, finance and law was highlighted sharply in the legislation. So I think the space part and legal, that has been catered for, because we do have two members in the board who have legal expertise. The finance one was the one that was lacking. So I think that has been, this is the process that we're trying to ensure that we do fill the vacancies. I think I've tried just to respond to specific questions, unless my colleague has got some questions that would like to specifically respond to, but other than that, I try to capture what the members wanted to find out.
Let me add something I fortunately had a briefing from the desk of International Astronomical Union on Monday.
Yes.
I technically invited this to the audit advisor to be also there. So this is what we got from that desk. Now this desk, it is trying to see that if we deal with SANSA or matters of astronomy, we must categorize them into three areas that astronomy has an impact on. Which therefore I'm thinking that therefore in terms of even looking at the board members, we've got to look into these three areas. At least the board members have gotten, we've got one, at least one from these areas. For instance, I haven't seen anything mentioned in our selection criteria about culture and society. which is a very important component here, which includes anthropology, history, inspiration, perspective within the immensity of the universe, and so forth. So that falls under what we call culture and society. That is why they feel that the astronomy has a direct impact. Actually, they were showing, they gave me even a memory stick, which shows when the interpretation, do you remember the interpretation of the stars and everything in terms of culture, that they believe this star means this in this culture and so forth. So they were showing all the variety of how different cultures interpret astronomy, you see. So which is a very important component. In future, I'm sure now you miss the point, but in future, if you consider, or because we still have an input to make from the committee, you have the members of the committee must familiarize themselves that culture plays a very important part in astronomy. And that is why you have people still believing in astrology and stars and their daily life that they belong in the astronomy field. So it's very important. The other area is technology and skills. Then astronomy impacts a lot on optics, for instance, on computers. The development of the computation and computer systems, IT. Astronomy is at the center of the best software that is operating in the science field, by the way. Electronics, space, and so forth. This falls under technology and skills. And then there is science and research, of course. That's where you look into components like biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics as pure subjects that are related to astronomy. And astronomy has a direct impact in developing within those areas. So that, I thought that it was very important that we give you that brief which we got from the International Astronomy Desk on Monday. Yes. Right. That was it just as a matter of just a brief in case during the time of selecting the possible candidates that we must also look into that together in consultation with the department. Right. Anybody with any further questions so far? If not, then
Can you ask a procedure that the entire list has been referred to us in the ATC that means that all the 14 names are before us to consider. So in the, just based on our past, how we appointed the center board was in our committee when we came here. So what we did in the past was we have the option, we can either, we look at the list and we approve the entire list as it stands. What we did the last time was to approve it in the order of priority, the way in terms of what is needed. Sometimes technically the department already when they give us that list, it's obviously in the sequence that they want it. So normally unless there's an objection to a particular person, we will note that objection in the report, or we say okay, they can be number 10, 11 to 14, but the first five we can prioritize the way we want, or we can just approve the list as it is in the report on that.
I think that is directed to our members particularly. Yeah. So that is the kind of procedure we. I don't know what I would like. Would you like us to give you to digest the list and come up with all you, because we still have time. We can finish everything today. You see, which is better probably, so that we have something else next week on our list.
If we still have a room to attend just as a final look, one would propose that we can prepare more or less the members have said and prepare all voluntarily in their comfortable. The area in particular now is so
Thank you. having one proposal is that more time is needed so that the matter must be finalized next week. Another proposal from Honorable Mokonyan.
Not that I'm for the contrary to my case. The point I wanted to highlight before, because I raised my hand beforehand, is this. In terms of the act, the duty lies on the final of aspects. And the final of aspects are actually bound to take position all of this said, including people with disability in China, which is their responsibility. Ours is circumscribed, as it were. We are restricted to the list that has been submitted to us. As I point out, unless from our own advice, we find that now either there's been a complaint that this process was filled with irregularity and things like that, that has been brought to our attention, you know, we pay tax for that reason. But because there's nothing like that, and because there's also the explanation from the department, together with the CVs, and I think those that spoke before me would say, really these are people with the necessary expertise, and trusting of course that the panel did their own work with no objection, in my view I'm much more comfortable to say, okay, this list could pass on. And particularly a point that you raised earlier on, Chair, that we did not give them five. Not give them more. So that in case there is a challenge in one or two not take their position, then this thing this will go on. So on that basis that I was going to say, well, I don't think that's really technical, mechanical. There's nothing really that would really require to set to our minds more. If that's the way my wife, then, and she often has to answer the matter, I would have no problem. If she still, I'm feeling comfortable. Because anyway, unless there's a time of the essence.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Honorable Mokonyane. Why should I agree with Honorable Dunja? I agree with you even more because, first of all, under the type of legislation that we're dealing with, this is a list where the minister submits it to Parliament and takes the decision after consultation with Parliament. So, whatever recommendation that we can do, contrary to what we have, the minister still is not bound by whatever competition we do. We'll still go back, and if the minister feels that the panel of experts took into consideration a lot of things that have been said here, including because they have also taken consideration of the finance officer, that there is a need of a person with financial expertise. They have already identified that. I'm thinking that it will be, for me, it's a fruitful exercise that we can start afresh trying to make a list and trying to start this restudy again the whole document, because the briefing is exactly meant to brief us about some of the concerns that have been raised here. And in any event, in the 15-member list, the minister, in accordance with how the panel of experts had prioritized, will still process that way without being bound by the final decision for us to ratify the list and make this a recommendation if we have some contrast to what the list is saying. So far, I've not had anybody rejecting any of the names yet, except raising a concern about what type of expertise we think is supposed to be there, which I think the delegation here is going to also take into consideration. So I'm therefore supporting what Honorable Nkonyane is saying, but I am also open to any counter reviews if there are any counter reviews.
I had a look at section 7 of the Act. 7C and D makes use of the word approval. So we must make dead sure that we understand we have to approve, and that's what we have to do. And what is approved in code? That's what I have to say about.
No, actually, that is that is either approved or not. If we do not approve, we have to state why we are not approving. That is why I'm saying, if we have counter reviews from the what we have in this list, that is what, that, because that is why the minister has to have the recommendations coming from the committee that we do approve, but these are the reservations we have, or we do not approve exactly this because we feel that the panel of experts was improperly convened and constituted and so forth and so forth. That is exactly what is a democratic process, and that is why it is here. That is why we have exposed the committee to the delegation to explain some of the things that were our concerns, and that is why I said that over and above that, this is part of course what we must consider according to the astronomical, well, astronomical units. Yeah, Honorable Dutra.
No, Chair, I'm still now with my
so you immediately
yes, but quite a very strange arrangement, because I was sitting here asking myself, what's the point of going through this whole exercise when in fact the minister may just, he or she can, therefore the minister, the challenge is in the act, and which I do think that every committee will have to look into this at some point, because I find us going through an exercise that in fact we have to brief the essay fine, that there's a minister. So I'm saying the challenge is with the act. I won't be reaching that.
And I actually said we have always as a committee challenged this category. Most of these acts were very improperly planned. They make the committee simply toothless in reality, because if the appointment of the board is done after consultation with the committee, it doesn't bind the minister to take our recommendation. It happened actually with NRF board, by the way, and it became a very hot polarization between the committee and the minister of the time, who was that time it was Mr. Mangana. Because we had two very sharp contrasts in that which he had submitted to Parliament. And we knew, at least we knew about two people that were not supposed to be in the board for by virtue of many misgivings. And then we said, these two people, well, we feel they shouldn't be here for this and this reason. And he said, we recommend this and this and this for this and this reason. Guess what? The minister publishes this with all what regardless of what we have said. We took the matter, that's when we learned about this category, that there are three pieces of categories in this legislation, from the secretary to the National Assembly. Then he said the minister was in any way not bound because this is the legislation. So the minister was just giving, was consulting with him that this is what he is doing, but not necessarily that he can change what he says now. He wanted you to approve. If not approve, he will take me off his mind. You see? And then he published it, regardless of what we are, and so the court just continued this with all the ills that we had in the committee. And that is why, following that, in the development of the legislation governing the appointment of SSC board, we made it a point that we put this after consultation out of the place, and we said in consultation with the committee. And it's, by the way, it stayed more than a year without being approved in that way. So they didn't want to approve it. And it came back from the president, went to the NSOP, and the NSOP brought it back to us. We said, no, we're not changing. We have an experience with NRF. They were aware we made necessary recommendations as a committee, but they were neglected and ignored. And then after 1 year, even today, it's still a hurdle, even today, it's still a needle in the door, because they still feel that we must change that legislation to be after consultation. They tried it to do the committee when it was headed by that time by Honorable Oliver. They tried to go to him, and I think they took advantage that he was a new chair. But he consulted with me to find out why we did we do it like this. Then I told the reason, and then he stuck to that, and so it became a problem. So I'm trying to give you a briefing that this is not just for me. We have a history of it in this committee, that if it is after consultation, well, we can say anything, but when the minister is not bound by what we say, he has consulted with us by legislation. But if he feels that the panel of us already appointed gave him a good, then there is nothing that he can do.
May I
just
ask a question that's not for now? Is that do we have any, is there a process of parliament to look into amending some of these acts and try and see where all these pockets and therefore, because there are pockets you are unable to.
Yes. We looked into it, actually it was recommended. In fact, after that very big rancor, it was felt that actually we cannot have parliamentary committees having different pieces of legislation in appointing boards, because for instance communication uses the other category out of the three. Communication does not even give any effect to any panel. Everything is done by the committee. They interview, they shortlist, they do everything, you see. And that it was there for answering you. It was felt that it was taken, the matter was taken to the Chairperson's Forum, where it was felt that, in fact, in future, the Committee of Chairs has to coordinate a process whereby there must be a uniform way of how Parliament works, committees work, which category do committees follow in Parliament in the appointment of boards of different entities. Whether we take the category of after consultation, or we take the category of in consultation with, or we take the category where the Portfolio Committee on Communication does everything for itself. You see, it's supposed to be uniformized, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Because indeed, even now, we became faced with the situation where NRF has got that loose process for association, that why are we treated differently from NRF? So it became a problem. And it's still a problem because it has never been resolved. You see. These pieces of legislation, they were passed some years before when we were still inexperienced after 1924. And so they didn't know what it means after consultation, what is the difference between after consultation and in consultation. I was given a very booklet like this, which gives the difference, which says what it means, that if you say after consultation, that's what you mean. If you say in consultation with this, what you mean. I got it from the director of the Ministerial Assembly, which I took to the Chairperson's Forum. And then that's when it was said the report resolved that it needs to be uniformized all over the committee structure. So that's why I have a very good experience of what we are dealing with here.
Chanel mentioned the prioritization of five names, and as I understood that Ms. Holder already prioritized, is this part of our approval process also to have a look at that? Do we agree with the prioritization of the names? I'm asking the question.
Yes, it is. This is part of it. We can change the prioritization. But again, according to the Act, it does not mean that the Minister can take our recommendation, because it is after consultation. He can look at it and say, okay, if he believes that it was a good recommendation, he can take it, but he is not bound by virtue of the particular of legislation which governs the appointment of boards. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so
gives us maybe a way forward. What we can do is when we look at our report next week and we say maybe we looked at the list, we approved the list as we have to according to how it was referred to us, we can add some of the concerns that have been raised, and we will formulate it and bring it in. Again, we have mentioned before that legislation should be streamlined, especially when it comes to the appointment of boards. We raise it under every board that we report on. So we will do that again. We will formulate it, we'll bring it next week to the committee, and then we can look at it and adopt the report.
Honourable Lang.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, in terms of approving, my understanding is we as a committee must make sure that the information that we receive is 100%. So I just want to caution us that we must make sure that everything that we got from the committee is 100%, and then we can approve it. So.
I don't get it myself quite clearly. When you say 100%, what does that mean?
100% in terms of the information, the CV that we received. Was it verified? Is it the information? Is it just and true what is on it before we approve? Because I don't want a situation where we approve and we didn't make sure that all the information was correct.
Okay. Honourable
Sir, I just wanted to say, after we have heard everything else, I would move that what is written on this book of department on page 8 is recommended for approval. Those who said the names starting from the component and those from the department see approved.
From one of the honourable members, what is the response or any additional input from the members? Right? He wants to say something.
No, it's maybe after this.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's look at the proposal from honourable Nkonyane first. As entails page 8 and page 9. I'm not in this paragraph 8 and paragraph 9.
Page 4,
page 4 of the briefing. I want members to be satisfied with themselves, yeah. I was just giving guidance of the intensity of the process and what it entails. But it does not restrict members to raise whatever. If a member has any concerns, let the member raise it. But here is a list being given, some names given, and the department also coming with its response. So here is then a proposal coming from us, from one member of our committee. So what do members say about that?
I just need to know we've got the two lists in front of us now on page 4.
Yeah.
Are they now prioritized?
Yeah, these are prioritized as they come.
So in other words, Professor Walker is number 7 in the priority.
Yeah. No, sir, can I?
No.
No, Chair, the names are just listed here without prioritization. If, for example, we were to prioritize, we'll probably even look into those with financial expertise which are, you know, priority in the area, those in space science field, So those are the people that we look, we look for. So if we were to prioritize, maybe, I mean, my advice would be for the committee to focus, to look at the CVs, and then based on the CVs, prioritize. I do note that we omitted two names in terms of the CVs, which we have just asked my colleague to email me those now, which is number 3 and 4. We have placed them in the summary.
Which numbers?
Mrs. Ngaita and Mrs. Mokoka.
Sorry, members and COO, it's just that those two names were omitted in the abridged list,
yes.
But these full CDs are included in the process for submitted to me.
Right, Honourable Members, Honourable Chum.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm going to suggest that maybe we choose the department and deal with this matter with the committee before we even say we approve the designated nature of it. That's my suggestion. Discuss and
so you are suggesting that the department must excuse us for some minutes, or we must just go and come back next week? What do you say?
Do they have to come back, Chairperson? Don't you?
If it is due, they will need to come back.
If we
do not know how we are going to resolve it, maybe we'll need some more other briefings or some more other input or clarification, whatever. Yeah.
The reason for her suggestion that they must accuse us, right? We would be able to understand. But I thought we are at an advanced stage now, right, whether we approve or not.
Honourable members want you to give reasons for the department to recuse themselves.
Chairperson, I think you...
Can you put yourself on the matter?
You recall that my question earlier on was with regards to whether we're going to continue with this or we're going to complete this here, or we're going to get a briefing and discuss it further later. That it was said we're going to discuss it further. Much as I've read, I've gone through the CV myself yesterday, gone through them, I think in 2050 so. But I was thinking that we should be given an opportunity to go through them and discuss the names.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would go with the first proposal of the lady down there that said we should have an opportunity to vote it. I also went through it, but normally the procedure is once we've had a briefing from the department, then we go and we have a relook at the documentation, and we also consult when we need to consult with other members, like members from the different departments in our own caucuses, that will have knowledge about the people that were nominated from the different departments. So I think we need an opportunity to consult and then send our names, like you suggested, send our names in the following order. In our order of what we would like to see.
At the end of the day, probably be unanimous in adopting the list of names as it is, but we still have to come back next week because
the report that is scheduled to be adopted as a committee report about this list will only be done next week. So at the end, for today, what we have finished is the process, the briefing, the clarifications and everything. We can then go back and digest this list. When next week we come to adopt the report about the list, if anybody has any concern, then that is where you can raise that concern. Yes,
thanks, Jay. I was still missing this. I wanted to say when we can come back, like you initially suggested, and bring our own prioritized list, and or maybe send it to Shanada at an earlier date, before Friday, so that she can also circulate it, and then we can come and say, I heard that you also said you want consensus, and I don't think that this should be a politicized matter, but I do think we can, when we go through the series again, with the information got from the department, that we can now go and prioritize the list, and each one by ourselves, and then come back and discuss.
But as long as we take into consideration what I just briefed you, that the minister is not bound about our prioritized list. He can still continue with the list as he has put it because of the type of legislation that governs this process. Honorable Gonyan?
Chair, I must say I agree with you, but I think most of the people might be okay of the area proposal that okay. I will draw them my motion today to command so that it could be done next week. But then I think, Chair, that would be very, very clear. The thing of prioritizing is in matter. As to what the legislation says about us, and to stick ourselves there. The legislation says from the list we must say yeah or nay. And part of that department doesn't know what they are doing. Thank you very much.
That is why I wanted to, that's why I had to give you a deep clarification of what this piece of legislation says, so that we do that, we don't have to waste our time or cause unnecessary quarrels for something that is not going to reward us in anything. That is why I made a point that this is also even known from Parliament because it has caused a controversy right across the spectrum up to NCOP. Actually, you know, this piece of legislation where we questioned it, it stayed in the presidency for a year and was preferred back here because they wanted us to change and make it after consultation instead of in consultation. So I'm trying the institutional memory is very important to deal with, and I have an institutional memory about all these things because they've happened before me. I have survived. Yes, I'm still here. Okay. Thank you very much. So I think therefore let's come to the conclusion of this briefing. And thank you very much from the delegation led by the COO. I don't think that we will need you next week because next week it will be an internal committee matter. If there are any if there are members that have got any prioritization, we will put the list of that member that one member feels that this is the priority he would have liked, she or he would have liked the priority like this. But this is also at the end of the day, again, it's at the discretion of the minister. But let us go and then look into that and see the names and see if there's anything that we disagree with, and let us raise it next week when we adopt the report. Thank you very much, honourable members. The meeting is adjourned. You can leave us in peace before you leave us in peace. Shanada's got something to say to you quickly. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Honourable members, as we decided to circulate that program because there are some minor changes which we have made there, which we need that we adopt this program at least tentatively as a program that we are going to use for now. If there is anybody with any contrary suggestion to that program, please let us know because we need to ratify it here and now. Shanaz is going to just brief you about the small changes that are made in order to accommodate some students.
Then we for today we were supposed to have the briefing on the third quarter expenditure performance report from the GST. That we moved because normally when we have matters that are referred, that ITC for the committee's attention consideration, we prioritize those matters, like in the case of the board, when we had this briefing today of the shortlist. That came after our meeting.
We've got a program as from the 16th of April.
Okay, you've got two copies. Just sorry, so that's the hour.
Okay. Is it at,
There's two programs that we have. There's the basic class that we agreed to, and that was translation. So by the time we agreed for our program, 11th of September came the matter of Macedon. So that's why the referred matter. Okay. So we made 2 weeks provision for that. The 1 week we have our discussion as we move now. The 2nd week we actually formalize the process and adopt a report on the shortlist matter. Okay. And then we have initially on the 27th of February we were supposed to receive a briefing from Microsoft for Africa. Chamberson alerted us to that. I think in the MDA, they subsequently were not available also for that briefing for a while. The person who's supposed to do that briefing is out of the country, so we'll take that further along. But anyway, that slot hasn't now been taken with the finalization of the report next week. Then coming to the 6th of March, we then have that briefing that was supposed to be our first meeting on the DST expenditure third quarter report. And then on the 13th of March, we have the briefing. I think this was a key issue that came out. We got stuck with this when we went on our workshop with one of our members was sent for something like this. Update on the strategy to increase the research and development expenditure in South Africa. So I think all the members will talk about that. And it's also a good topic to have before when we do our budget deliberations, because those are things that we always note in our budget report. And then on the 20th of March, the GST will be ready to brief us on the APP, Annual Performance Plan. They will table on the 13th, so the 12th of March, 12th of March, so we will have our, which gives us enough time to go through the document, the strategic plan document, and then have to receive the briefing from them on the 20th of March. Then after that, what normally follows, we invite all our entities to do their annual performance plan, and they will, from the week four, we call it, and then to the smaller two, we will have, week after week, those briefings going into the April period. Now on the second cycle program, we now be the week of the 16th to the 19th of April is the committee period. We initially thought we could do the workshop there or a couple of other things, but now because it's identified for our annual performance plan to deal with the starting budgets and plans, your committee has to use it for that week. So we have then the other entities that we couldn't see in March carrying over to April after the break. So the 17th and the 18th of April, we've listed that. Now, Chair has been speaking about the people that he met from the Astronomy Development Office, and they have agreed to, in that period, to
come and with us. Mm-hmm. Because they want us, practical members, to come and see some of the telescope and all that is entailed in the development of astronomy and sort of in the observatory, so that we can see the thing in real meaning for practical meaning. So then I felt that in our meeting on Monday, before we must just go there to see something that they have to be preserved here, so that they have an overall of what they will be seeing there before we go there. So I thought that therefore we can zoom into that committee period because we'll be here in Cape Town and go there to observe it. I mean, and have them come to brief us before we go to see those things. Another thing. Why this? Because about 2 weeks ago, the head of the steering committee of the World Astronomical Union, the people who are behind, who supported us, SKA, was here. Unfortunately, I had some funeral situation that I couldn't. They had invited me. He was their professor, Nairi. But here he's the head of the steering committee and the vice president of the World Astronomical Union. So that is why he just left these people to come and brief me. That's why they came on Monday to brief me. And that's when, out of many things that they discussed, it became very useful for us, the committee, to go into some of these things and the observation. But I felt from the intensity of the material that just when she knows telescopic formation, it's better that members are less briefed here about what is they are likely to see there and how astronomy works in real indigenous practice rather than in high science level. So that is when I thought that it would be important therefore to fix that item now that there is a window. On Tuesday morning we are not doing anything. Then I thought that if we can meet at 10 and have a brief from there before we go to the observatory, which Shalom is going to tell me when we should be scheduled.
So that's the Tuesday. So we'll be looking
at
the 3 days of the committee period. So that they
would
not be
so
the
time.
Which
16th, 17th,
and 18th of April.
That is after the break.
Then we, on the 24th of April, we will call that, isn't it? The 24th of April, we will look at our, we will have a discussion on our committee draft report on the performance plan. And then the week after the 8th of May, we will consider and finalize or adopt that report for publication.
Because on the 14th we have our budget.
Yes.
13th of May.
16th of May. Okay, so the 15th of May, we've just shifted to the 16th of April.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, no. I'm just saying the slot is the 15th of May now. That briefing we move to the 16th of April. I just spoke about it. That's the briefing.
Of the astronomy development, the one of the men from here. I think instead of coming on the 15th of May, you will come here on the 16th of April.
And then go to the observatory.
Yeah, after that we go to the observatory.
Okay, so we have a slot for we will store
so that. Well, we will have used a Tuesday which doesn't belong to us, so we can leave it open to compensate for that. Because it will be the day before the budget is better for people to prepare themselves. So we will not put anything on
the structure of mind. No meetings.
No meetings. We are preparing for the budget before we came.
Okay.
My approach is my brain. We said that the briefing by the astronomical people is on the 15th.
April, yeah. It was supposed to be on the 15th of August. So what we are saying now was, since we have a subject to fellow, they could come and let you committee meet on Tuesday morning and refer so that before we go there to them, because we've taken a slot of Microsoft who are no longer available and gave them that we will use that slot to go to observe instead of doing nothing. But we felt that it would be fair to go to observe that during that time, having been briefed, and that's why we slotted it on the 16th of April to present. Understand what I'm saying? So now what we are saying is that, therefore, by virtue of having done that shortly, on the 15th of May, they would be there for nothing because that has been shifted to the system. But we are saying that because the following day we will be having the budget vote, let us bring it up and let us not fight for anything that members prepare their speeches on the 10th.
Okay, then we go on the 22nd of May. We have that briefing on the status and content of the National Space Program. That was on the agenda for the first time, remember all the space issues that we had. We just took in and out, you know, that's there. The other one was also on the program. We basically just move it down if we don't have the space. So it's an update on the Caprese clinical trials, which no one wants to know what's happening there and so on.
You still remember the Caprese program?
Yeah.
And then the 1st of June, we'll do the, what is it, the last quarter of expenditure and performance review of the department's report.
Can I ask
different
reasons why we must be
not in the Caprese and what you see? Okay, because we visited the Caprese project. There were certain things that they have said and indicated at which stages they are with those projects, and I think they were going for more time, and there was reported in the last budget that more money was also going to be given for clinical trials or something, and there was a problem also with MRC and the Caprese. Yeah, there was some difficulty about getting the go-ahead to go for another trial, so all of those is left just hanging. We didn't come back to discuss or get an update of what is going forward.
There was a media coverage that what had been once said that there were breakthroughs in computer, they were actually not. So we needed to know what actually was. Later it was said that no, we need a quality problem, they were still causing the meter sign. So we needed to make sure. And I would like.
Sir, thank you. Sir, I just want to know, isn't it possible for us to have a follow-up on the SKA, because they are having the first stages, and is it possible for us to track where are they now and what is.
So that is the aim of that, exactly. This, they are from the SKA desk.
Which
desk?
Just for clarification, this office is a global office linked to the International Astronomical Union. And South Africa won the bid to host this office here. Because the office is a global office. It addresses what astronomy can do for development globally. And its plans and projects then therefore run accordingly. The Square Kilometre Array falls within the scope of astronomy. But the management of the SPARC project falls with the SPARC project office. Therefore, the briefings will not be combined because the focus is different. This is more of an education and outreach program. It is, why do we follow astronomy as a big science? What can astronomy do for development? So they run programs for universities at the tertiary level education, at the basic education, and then well for public awareness. So it's to create buy-in and greater awareness of what astronomy can do. Because people question, why are we investing so much money in astronomy when we have other problems? So it's really to showcase what this can do for development globally. So a SAR update briefing will have to be a separate briefing. So members can then decide whether they want it within the first and second term. And the one place where Shanaz and I can possibly fit it in is on that 22nd of May, where we have a briefing on the status and content of the National Space Program. Because that is a performance indicator of the space agency, we can request them, with members' permission, to report on that when they cover the ACP, because they have to report on the performance plan. So that could be an addendum to that, but of course that is with members' permission and time allowing. And then we could maybe ask the SCOR project office to come and give us an update there. But it's as members feel how you want the content presented to you, if you want it split or if you could put it, if we could...
No, of course, an answer to that, actually, it's enough to give an answer, because before I just mentioned it, you see, on the annual performance plans, there's a lot to reckon with. We need them to brief us, we need to interact with them, we need to ask them questions, we need to be satisfied, because annual performance are very important. So we can't reach them with any other thing, because even a committee period is not enough to interrogate all the things before. So what we have suggested with Shanaz in terms of the SKA project briefing is that because Microsoft is not available,
with all due respect, I think the 12th of June is too far. Because in the State of the Nation address, the President also announced some allocations to the SKA. And whenever I go to my constituency, people want to know what is happening and how far are we, and me as a member can't give them any explanation or give them direction of what is actually really happening there. So I really would like the committee to have sympathy with it and let us rather look if we can't squeeze it in somewhere in the
The department's briefing, the annual performance of the department, when they bring their start plans, they are overall, it can actually fall on that department in any event. So that is where they are supposed to raise that. What we can tell is that they must also include the SKA briefing during that briefing. And that is exactly in line with even budget allocation.
Noted. If we are having the Caprisa briefing on its own, can't we have the SKA on its own? Because then
we are going
to
be too
hard.
We can't stop around. Because the Caprisa briefing is not very urgent.
Yeah, okay.
So
it's 2 weeks earlier. Only 2 weeks.
That's it. When was Caprisa?
29th of May.
But only that one that be late 29th of May? Because I thought you said it is supposed to be...
Because we are collecting our budget book.
Ah, why, what is before that? It's on the 16th of May.
No, we are still working about the annual performances. So when I go back, it must be in May.
Yeah, but the annual performance...
So the chair must just give the indication whether it's not possible to have it on the computer show. Yes,
no, but what I'm saying, no, I'm not debating. What I'm saying from your argument was that it should
June
be...
June is too late.
Eh?
June is too late.
But May 29th is also too late.
No,
according to
2 weeks are different.
All right, please.
find so we are going to swap, we are going to take out the cup.
Myself, I was thinking that her argument is that since it was mentioned in the state of nature that it has got to fit in with the strike plans because it will be part of a budget, budget inclusion or budget considerations. And she says that she wants when she goes to the constituency, they ask about the SKA of the spin-offs, that she is able to say that. And I am saying that if it's like that, if it is supposed to fit in with the program of strat plan, we are supposed to precede the budget vote. It's supposed to be therefore before 15th of May. Before 15th of May, that's what I'm saying. Because it doesn't make sense if it is after that. It doesn't make sense. It may as well be in June. See, that's what I'm saying. So if anything, if it has got to have an impact on the budget, what consideration, therefore be part of the budget planning, it's supposed to be before. That's what I'm saying. I think that is very clear. Otherwise, if it is on 29th of May and June 12th, it's just almost the same. It doesn't make any difference. That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying, therefore, is that we must look for a slot that is before the 15th of May.
15th
of May, okay.
So we will be like
but that is in
now,
yeah. But we said, because we are having a budget vote on the 16th, we said we must leave this slot so that members prepare their speeches. And it, on our journey.
Chairperson, we have heard your sentiment. Let's leave the issue of date and what we're doing to
It can't be like that. You can't be, we can't leave matters of the committee of crucial consideration, leave it to the officials. We have to agree here.
Okay.
We have to agree a date because we have got these potential dates. We have to agree so that we leave here knowing that we have agreed about that we have taken into consideration that SKA must be considered before we finalize budget vote. So, and we must look and agree ourselves where do we slot it in before the budget vote date, which is 16th of May.
I'm looking for the calendar. If it is to be before the budget vote, and the date before the budget vote is we have agreed that the 15th is an open day for us to prepare for the budget. So I do think that we have to look into a subject question. There is the 8th and there is the 14th being on Tuesday, which is ours. It's either we have to be on the 8th of me.
We can do it on the 8th, you know why? Because 8th is only a report, you see, and therefore we can put it at its stand also on the 8th, because it will be a brief briefing itself. Okay. Honorable Line, I agree with that. Okay. Right, we will therefore combine it with the consideration of the adoption of the committee report, which is not. It's just something that we sit like this and then we can leave the rest to the SKA briefing. Okay.
Okay, that is it for the July 19th of June. The last meeting we reached with all of the different forces on the new program to
Honorable
my apologies, Chair. I may have been consulted. I don't know. I was scared that I gone under some reconstruction. Is it having a plan for the post-problem of the strategic planning workshop?
No.
What is the reason? Because I'm trying to reconnect and I don't know. But I just want to let us write you.
Now, initially, when we decided on that, Parliament had said that would be a committee period.
But after everybody had left, they changed that automatically to say there would be this training and there would be a corporate record club for the ANC people and what was the other thing? Three other days that we couldn't make, which left us with a Thursday and a Friday, and I know members are not going to control Friday, like in a workshop. For that kind of thing. My consultant was chair, and only later, the, almost a week before, that they say, no, you can now use them as a commercial. So we couldn't plan a workshop like a week before the time for the other week. The program itself wasn't clear, although it initially said we could use this for commercial. So we were going to do a planning workshop here.
Actually, they started by saying it was going to be that week we were going to be a workshop, and they changed it to members training week. And the chapter's better work was going to be modified at the 31st, to the half day of the first. So they just put a lot of programs up and down, and maybe have it in town.
So is there any identified date for the workshop? The second thing so that I didn't talk about, there's an oversight that was taken off the program. Remember that we then said we have to do the one with the same case in the school for change. And I don't know whether we have compared to taking that off the school and if I can just get
okay. Same reason, we didn't have oversight in January, we're not going to have oversight now in the March period, because our funds we use most of our funds for the international thing. The Eastern Trade visit is not off, it was probably now in the place in our next oversight slot, which is July, August, and we come back. When we determine our next program at the end of June, the 20th of June, the 19th of June, we will complete that. The workshop in
Egypt was...
So,